If I don't trust my friend, I cannot go on. If I cannot trust, you know, that a skeptical mind is going to make you feel like you're sick.
Yeah, you cannot live without trusting in someone. But still, you need to be careful. Like, as I mentioned in the hadith, you shouldn't completely trust in someone. That any time, the opposite can happen.
Exactly.
You know, I feel that, you know, these few terms are related with each other. Like trust and expectations.
Yeah.
And having hopes.
Expectations.
You know, trust leads you to having expectations.
Yeah.
And expectations leads you to disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your expectations are not fulfilled,
yeah,
they lead you to disappointments.
Exactly.
So if you, like, as I said, that, you know, you cannot live without trusting somebody, that, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you buy food and you don't know who the chef is, who the cook is, but you buy the food and you still eat it.
You trust them and you eat
you trust it. Like, if you don't trust them, there might be poison in them.
Yeah.
So you cannot eat it, right? So there need to be some amount of trust.
You must be fluctuating always between a trust and a distrust.
Yeah, so you apparently trust people.
I get reminded of this Kashmiri line, which says, "Sir, the secret should be told to the one you know, not to the one you don't know at all." What the poet means in the further lines is God. It says that you have only known God, who has never betrayed anyone. And all the people around you never know what's going on in their minds. So you don't know them, basically. Even if you know them, but you don't know them. Because you never know. Can you read minds?
No, of course. But I wish I could.
So again, we should trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Again.
So there's hadith.
We get back to reality that trust should be put only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We can relate a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen with this quote. Keep some secrets to yourself.
Yeah.
Even if he is your best friend, do not reveal everything.
Every single
thing. Just don't expose your whole self.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? There are chances that someday he might not be your friend.
They would turn against you.
Yeah, they would turn against you. So what does it mean?
And then your worst enemy becomes your closest friend.
And, yeah, and what does it mean? And one of the poets puts it so beautifully in Urdu. He says, "I always used to do... talk about this beautiful person first, and then I used to introduce myself to people. She or he was always on my top list to introduce people, like when people would ask my introduction, I would give her introduction first or his introduction first.
I put my friends first.
Which means I was very close to the person and I had revealed so many things. And in the end, that person became my raqib, became my enemy, one who was my razna, who was my secret keeper.
So now
we need to be careful over here. So this is this again. Hadith says that, you know, he might turn against you someday. What does it mean? It means that, you know, you cannot completely trust even your best friend.
Yeah, just like blindly.
There's a red line. Everything has got a red line.
You're giving weapons into the hands of someone, which can actually, he can take that back and shoot you tomorrow with the same
killing weapon, of course, not just hurting weapon.
Yeah.
You're giving them the entire thing. So I would put it this way. From the very beginning, we shouldn't trust in order not to feel hurt in the end. Because just as the brother said, expectations also are just a great deal of problem in the middle. When we start to trust people, then we have too much of expectations from them. But unfortunately, most of those expectations come out to be wrong. So again, let's go for change of mood. And then it would be the final part of today's discussion. Dear listeners of IRB English Radio, back to reality it is, and we are coming to this reality that we shouldn't trust people from the very first point in order not to give them a second chance or a third one or whatever. But still, there are some, is it kind people that are more prone to this sort of...
I won't say kind, Sister Asma, I would say innocent people.
Naive people.
Innocent people don't know about the real colors of the world.
Uh-huh.
Who have not seen yet, who don't have enough knowledge about that. Like in the hadith, we have been informed, we have been instructed. I remember I met this lady at Jamgaran in the mosque, and she was teacher. She was a very good professor, and I told her, could you help me with one thing? I trust people very easily, and then I get hurt in a very bad way. What can I do? And then there was a packet in her hand. She told me, can you actually rely on this packet and sit? I said, no. She said, why? What will happen? I said, it does not have the potential. It does not have the potential that I lie on it. She was like, then what is the thing that you can lie on? Like, is this wall, does this wall have the potential? I said, yes. So she said, always, you know, there are walls. For example, sometimes you lie on a wall.
You can even barely trust a wall.
She said, sometimes even these walls, you never know when any of the bricks is going to come and fall on your head and then break your head.
Yeah.
And this is sometimes this wall is family. This packet is nothing. These are the friends and, I don't know, the outsiders. And the wall, which has a chance that its brick will come out and fall on your head, it's the family you're living in. The only strong wall you can actually rely on is the mom of your time. If your heart is so much full with, pain and all,
yeah,
talk to your mom. That way you won't actually go and try to find every third person and tell your heart, speak your heart to. Sometimes it's like, it's not all about trusting. We are filled so much. We want to talk to people. We want to actually take out this pain, but yeah, we don't know who to talk with.
We never know what's going to happen next.
Exactly.
So it doesn't mean like we just said, keeping hands in hands. So we can determine and we can work for, our next steps in advance. We need to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Never trust people blindly.
Never trust people blindly. And even if it's your best friends or your relatives, there has to be a red line. Like, until what limitations can you trust in them?
Yeah.
Until what limits can you trust in them? You can completely trust only just in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam.
Yeah, and that's it. I guess that's the whole story.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
We need to be prepared for anything.
Since our topic was that, are you trusting again the people who betrayed you? If you're actually forgiving them and then trusting in them again, they should not feel like we did nothing. You should show your discontent in one or the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're forgiving them, even if you're trusting them again, you should show that discontent, that betrayal that happened to you before, so that they feel regret. They realize, yeah. They should not feel like, all right, it's okay. Now I got a power to do anything.
Exactly. So that's it. Thank you. Thank you both very much. And thank you, dear listeners. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رزقك يا الله يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا التي أما رايزك لا تسي دليلك وانسك.
God's month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. God has permitted His servants to call Him and ask Him for everything. In fact, this means to give the servants the key to the treasury of His mercy. Prayer and supplication is the key to open the door of God's mercy. The path that God has ordained for the growth and training of human beings is full of trials and hardships. God says in the second ayah of Surah Ankabut, "Do the people suppose that they will be let off because they say, 'We have faith,' and they will not be tested? One of the divine tests and trials is to delay to fulfill our demands. Many a time, we beseech to God to grant us something, to cure our patient, to help us in a specific matter and so on. But not all these demands are fulfilled. Many of them may take several months and years to be fulfilled. This has several reasons, which we will discuss after the music. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "If the fulfillment of your prayer is delayed, it shouldn't make you desperate. God wants to test his servants and set the ground for his growth, but most of us lose hope in trials and calamities and instead of calling God more, resort to his servants. Good for the servant who is content with God, despite not fulfillment of his prayer. He knows that God is not niggardly like us, and he is greater than any need. So he does not despair and is always hopeful of God's mercy. He keeps praying and supplicating. This is the very thing that the prophet has told us. Pray as much as you can, because you do not know when your prayer will be fulfilled." Imam Ali, peace upon him, said to his son, Imam Hassan, peace upon him, "Allah's giving depends on your intention. Many a time, the demand is delayed so that you gain a greater reward and more granting. Many a time, you are denied what you ask for due to a preference, or you are given better than that sooner or later. Many a time a servant has a demand which will destroy his religion if it is met. Principally, a servant should know that if the powerful and all-knowing God denies him a demand, there is a reason for it. God says in Ayah 216 of Surah Baqarah, 'It may be that you dislike something while it is good for you, and it may be that you love something while it is bad for you, and Allah knows and you do not know.'" Imam Sajjad, peace upon him, says, "A believer's prayer is either saved for his hereafter, or his need is fulfilled, or a calamity that was ordained to befall him will be removed." No doubt, the greatest event and concern for humans is the day of resurrection. According to the Noble Quran, it is the day in which the sun is wound up and darkened. The earth becomes quite different. The mountains are set moving like clouds. The seas and oceans are set afire. The mothers forget and abandon their babies out of fear, and there is no refuge for anyone. Yet the faithful will be in the shade of Allah because of their prayers in this world, which has made their hearts calm. We all commit sins, but God calls us and insists on us to return to him. Many of us, instead of answering this divine call, positively turn our back to God and deprive ourselves of His boundless mercy. Imam Mahdi, may God expedite His reappearance, teaches us to supplicate in this way in Dua Iftitah. My Lord, indeed You have invited me, but I have turned my back to You. Allah expresses His love to us, but we reject it. If a bosom friend is kind to us, we usually return it with kindness. But if we turn it coldly or with recklessness, he will quit his kind behavior after a while. However, God keeps being merciful to us, even if we have committed every sin for years. In continuation of the supplication, we say to God, and You express friendship to me while I show enmity to You. And You express love to me while I do not turn to You, as if I were the one who gives You sustenance. God is so merciful that He will not forget His sinful servants. It has been narrated that God told Prophet David, peace upon him, if those who have turned their back to me knew how much I am waiting for them, and how much my favor will include them, and how much I am eager to see them giving up their sins, they would lose their souls out of zeal, and their body would be broken bit by bit. O David, this is my enthusiasm to those who have turned their back to me. So how will be my treatment with those who have turned to me? This shows how much God is kind to His servants. Dua Iftitah continues to read, yet this turning my back to You does not prevent Your mercy from me and goodness to me and favor to me through Your magnanimity and munificence. So have mercy upon Your servant and bestow me from Your ample grace. Indeed, You are magnanimous and noble.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa by a shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sadarbat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Under mounting pressure from weeks-long protests, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has finally accepted to delay his infamous judicial reforms plan.
Therefore, out of national responsibility, out of the will to prevent the rift in the nation, I have decided to suspend the second and third readings of the law in this term of the Knesset in order to allow the time to reach that wide consensus ahead of legislation during the next Knesset.
Before the announcement, Israel's Army Chief of Staff called on the regime's forces to continue to do their duty in the face of bitter divisions over the judicial plan. That's amid reports of many Israeli reservists threatening not to serve while hundreds have already skipped reserve duties. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime's embassies in other countries and major ports across the occupied territories joined massive strikes against the reforms. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis have protested over a planned overhaul of the judiciary. The reforms are backed by Prime Minister Netanyahu and his pro-settler coalition and would enable them to pick judges and limit Supreme Court's power to strike down laws. Lawmakers have already passed a reform that strips the Attorney General of the power to declare the Prime Minister unfit for office. Critics say the plans for judicial reform will weaken democracy. Israel has no written constitution, so the Supreme Court should be a vital check on the cabinet. But the court's track record on Palestinian rights is already weak. Israel's Supreme Court entrenches the occupation and upholds laws blocking Palestinians' equal rights. It has never ruled out the legality of hundreds of Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, which are illegal under international law. Over 6 million Palestinians live under Israeli occupation and draconian military law. Palestinian citizens have inferior rights, face unequal laws, and are banned from living in 900 towns. Also, Israel's far-right cabinet banned Palestinian flags and threatened to wipe out Palestinian villages and wants more illegal settlements on their land. That's while Israel is considered an apartheid regime by leading rights groups due to its systematic denial of the rights of Palestinians. For many, the far-right Israeli cabinet's plans to weaken the judiciary and entrench the prime minister's power are just another extension of occupation and unequal treatment. Netanyahu's proposed reforms seek to rob the Israeli Supreme Court of the power to overrule decisions made by the regime's new extremist cabinet and the Knesset. Mass protests have gripped the regime since it announced the plan in January. Tens of thousands of demonstrators have faced off police in the streets for the past 12 weeks. In reaction to the ongoing crisis, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani has described the situation as a wildfire that is consuming Israel from within. He added that the attempt by Netanyahu to boost his own power has once again revealed internal fault lines in the Zionist society by stoking unprecedented street protests and clashes. According to the latest surveys, Israelis' trust in institutions has been deteriorating for some years, with only 35% of people saying they trusted the institutions quite a lot or very much in 2022.
To be honest, it's incredible. I can't believe what's going on in Israel. It's just madness, it's complete madness. All the authorities, all the people that have the from all the jurisdictions, from the militaries, from the financial sectors, from all the sectors in Israel, saying that this. Reform or whatever you call it, it is completely crazy, and Israel has become a very dangerous place to be in at the moment.
Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani also took Israel's Western allies, especially the US and the UK, to task for their continued support for Israel. He said it's ridiculous that the United States and Europe, especially Britain, continue to support a fake identity which is based on occupation and apartheid and use democracy as justification.
The political rift between the East and the West continues to broaden day after day. That can be clearly seen in the recent comments made by Russian President Vladimir Putin. In an interview with the Russian media, President Putin accused the United States and NATO of seeking to build a new global axis. Putin said the Union bore some resemblance to the World War II alliance between Nazi Germany, Fascist Italy, and Imperial Japan. The Russian president also criticized Washington for its double standards and its own action in forming several military alliances. He named Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea as being in line to join what he termed as a global NATO.
They are announcing that they will create global NATO. What's that? Great Britain and Japan at the start of this year, in January, I think, have signed an agreement on developing relations and mutual development in military area.
The remarks by Putin come days after he and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping met in Moscow to discuss global developments. That created the idea for many in the Western world that the two powers are seeking to form a military alliance.
It does not correspond with reality at all. We are not creating any military alliance with China. Yes, we have cooperation in this sphere of military technical interaction. We are not hiding this. Everything is transparent. There is nothing secret. We have military cooperation. We conduct drills, not only with China, but even with other countries as well.
In a statement following their Moscow summit, the two leaders said their relations are not bloc-like, confrontational, or directed at third countries. The statement comes as Washington has recently said that it fears Beijing could arm Russia in its war with Ukraine. Moscow, however, has time and again reiterated that its stance in Ukraine is defensive in nature against the aggressive West. This is why Russia has pointed its fingers at the West for funneling billions of dollars worth of ammunition to Ukraine. Moscow argues that the help from the Western alliance to Kiev does pose a threat to its national security. Putin, however, has assured that Russia will not be outgunned in the war despite all the Western interference. Putin Putin's remarks come at a time when China and Russia already share a common concern of encirclement by the United States and NATO. Many say Russia sees NATO's eastward expansion as an existential threat, which, according to them, has been the main reason for its war with Ukraine. In West Asia, the United States maintains its presence in countries like Iraq and Syria under the pretext of fighting terrorism. But the reality on the ground indicates that Washington is only after plundering their natural riches. Washington's presence in the West Asia region also serves as a goal to maintain its encirclement of Russia. In East Asia, China is concerned that the United States is trying to create what it calls Indo-Pacific NATO by signing a string of defense agreements from the Philippines to Australia. From its military buildup on the Korean Peninsula to providing military assistance to Taiwan, it seems that Putin's assessment about Western powers recruiting allies from across the world to create an axis is closer to the reality. That can be significantly highlighted after NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg paid a visit to Japan and South Korea, where he stressed the Atlantic Alliance working closely with partners in the Indo-Pacific region. He also urged the nations to support Ukraine with more military support. Quite contrary, China has recently helped broker a diplomatic rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia after a seven-year break and announced its decision to bring an end to the war in Ukraine. This not only shows there is no West-like military alliance between Washington and Beijing, but also indicates that countries in the East are seeking a peaceful resolution to the world's crises unless their national security is threatened. From a different perspective, an alliance between America's two greatest strategic and military foes would not be as bad, given that there is high potentiality to shift the global order.
March 26th marks the 8th anniversary of the Saudi war on Yemen, a conflict which started after Riyadh, leading a coalition of 9 countries from West Asia and North Africa, launched an intervention to reinstate Saudi-backed former president Abd Rabbu Mansour Hadi after he was ousted by the Yemeni Ansarullah movement. According to UN figures, the war has so far claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people and brought the country's vital infrastructure to the brink of collapse. The war has also displaced millions of people. Riyadh and its allies also imposed a crippling blockade on Yemen, which has consequently caused a dire humanitarian crisis, with millions of children suffering from malnutrition and diseases like cholera. In a recent report, the United Nations expressed concern that it could be forced to slash support for children in Yemen without a funding boost. The UN Children's Agency said more than 540,000 under the age of 5 are suffering life-threatening severe acute malnutrition, with one child continuing to die every 10 minutes from preventable causes. UNICEF said if funding is not received, the agency might be forced to scale down its vital assistance, adding that the children of Yemen should be able to look to the future with hope, not fear. Peter Hawkings, UNICEF's representative in Yemen, said we called on all parties to help us deliver that hope by committing to the Yemeni people and pulling a country and a weary population back from the brink. But given all the sufferings by the Yemeni people, the war has stopped well shy of all its goals, despite killing hundreds of thousands of Yemenis and turning Yemen into the scene of the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Not only the war has not stopped, but the West's all-out support for Saudi Arabia has even exacerbated the situation and diminished prospects for peace. While Saudi Arabia maintains its blockade on Yemen, the humanitarian situation there is deteriorating day after day. This comes in light of the silence of the international community in dealing with the human catastrophe there. The current situation in Yemen questions the role of world countries in bringing the years-long deadly conflict to an end. Some countries have made efforts to help decrease the sufferings of the Yemeni people by sending humanitarian aid to the war-torn country or facilitate intra-Yemen talks to end the conflict. However, a sustainable political settlement in Yemen requires a more comprehensive approach, with the United Nations working with the Yemeni parties and also regional and international stakeholders. There are hopes that the devastating conflict could soon be over. As long as a ceasefire is concerned, although a truce agreed between warring sides in April 2022 has largely been held, the UN Secretary-General's Special Envoy for Yemen says the military situation in Yemen is fragile. Hans Grundberg says the truce can only be a stepping stone, adding that the UN urgently needs to build on what was achieved by the truce and work towards a nationwide ceasefire and an inclusive political settlement to end the conflict in Yemen. Grundberg says now that Iran and Saudi Arabia have finally clinched an agreement to restore diplomatic relations and reopen embassies and missions, the warring parties need to seize the opportunity to take the decisive steps towards peace. He says momentum to end the conflict in Yemen has been renewed by a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran to resume ties. This can be clearly highlighted in comments made by Iran's foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, who has numerously reaffirmed Tehran's support for any dialogue which would help promote peace and stability in Yemen. The top diplomat says the Islamic Republic supports intra-Yemeni talks to find a political solution to the crisis in the war-wracked Arab country. Even former Saudi officials have expressed optimism that the agreement between Tehran and Riyadh will be a game-changer for West Asia. All in all, what seems to be of high significance is that ending the years-long Yemen conflict requires patience, long-term perspective, courage, and leadership. According to the UN Special Envoy for Yemen, much has been achieved over the past year, and now it is time to take the next step.
France is in a crisis mode. Police have clashed with protesters angry at President Macron's controversial pension reforms. Unions claim 3.5 million people turned out across the country, while authorities suggested the figure was much lower at just under 1.1 million. In the capital, Paris, union leaders said that a record 800,000 people took part in the march throughout the city to demand that the government drop the fiercely contested change. Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin said dozens of police officers had been injured and dozens of people were arrested across the country. Earlier, workers blocked access to a terminal at the Charles de Gaulle Airport, forcing some travelers to get there on foot. French trade unions have called for fresh nationwide strikes and protests amid growing anger over the government's unpopular pension reforms. Trade unions have blamed the government for, quote, the explosive situation in the country. They also asked workers to continue protesting against President Emmanuel Macron's pension reforms.
For us, 10, 12 years ago, the previous pension reform was already unacceptable. What we want is a retirement age at 60 years old and 55 years old for those with hard-working conditions. And at one point, all these demands have to be expressed on the ground. And if we have to go beyond the demands set by the inter-unions, then this is what we will do.
Train and air travel was disrupted, while teachers were among many professions to walk off the job. Plumes of smoke were seen rising from burning piles of debris, blocking traffic on a highway near Toulouse in southwestern France. And strikes briefly blocked roads in other cities as well. Police also fired tear gas at some protesters in several other cities and used water cannon against others in Rennes in the northwest. Protests against the measures have raged since January.
The only thing he could say to appease the anger would be that he renounces reform, that there won't be any reform, that he respects the fact that the vast majority of the people don't want it, and that he regrets the way it happened. It most probably won't be that way, so I think we are in a deep crisis that will linger on for weeks and maybe months.
The But French President Emmanuel Macron has said the legislation, which his government pushed through the French parliament without a vote last week, would come into force by year-end, despite escalating tensions. The protests are the most serious challenge to Macron since the Yellow Vest revolt 4 years ago.
We may be at the beginning of a new Gilets Jaunes Yellow Vest movement, absolutely, because there is no democratic way out. The only thing that could avoid that would be a decision by the Supreme Court, the French Supreme Court, to overrule the law and to, you know, reset the legislative process. It has the power to do this. This is the only hope we have to avoid a major crisis.
Opinion polls show two-thirds of French people are against Macron's pension reform and the decision to push it through without a parliamentary vote. Since December, Macron has suffered a substantial drop of 8 points, and he now sees only 28% satisfied and 70% dissatisfied. Macron's government has shunned parliament to impose the unpopular pension reforms via a special constitutional power, the so-called Article 49.3, which provides that the government can pass a bill without a vote at the National Assembly, the lower house of parliament, after a deliberation at a cabinet meeting.
I think this was a denial of democracy. The government passed a law for which a majority of French people were against. The National Assembly was against it. Using the 49.3 is a scornful of French public opinion. Macron was elected with no majority. He was elected against the Front National. We did not give him a mandate to pass these reforms, which are unjust.
Procedure has been used in the past by various governments, but this time, is prompting a lot of criticism because of the massive public opposition to the proposed reform. The proposed changes include raising the retirement age from 62 to 64 and increasing the number of years people must make contributions to receive a full state pension. The reforms were at the heart of President Emmanuel Macron's re-election campaign last year, but are proving deeply unpopular. The government insists the reform plan is essential to ensure the French pension system does not run out of money.
So yes, there aren't 100 solutions if we want the pension system to be balanced. It no longer is. And the more we wait, the more it will get worse. And so this reform is necessary. And I say this to the French people, I don't enjoy doing this, I would have preferred not to do this, but it's also because of a sense of responsibility that I express my commitment to do this in front of you.
But many see the changes, such as raising the retirement age, as unfair to people who started working young.
I'm already disadvantaged in terms of my quarterly periods, given my redundancy, given the retirement age, which is being pushed back again and again. I've had a very, very long career. I started at 15, and I feel like I'll never get there.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network.
رسول الله معلمنا
هذا القرآن
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, today in this session, inshallah, we'll continue our previous lessons, okay? So, in this session, we'll work on Ayah 45 and Ayah 46 of Surah Ali Imran. So, on page 40, on page 55, right? Yes. Brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, please turn to page 55 and 56. Yes, 55. And then the next ayah is on page 56. So, ayah 45 and ayah 46 of Surah Ali Imran. So, if you're ready, let's once listen to the recitation and then inshallah we'll come back and practice. All right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه اسمه المسيح عيسى بن مريم وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين ويكلم الناس في المهد وكهلا ومن الصالحين.
Good job, nice recitation. Alhamdulillah, we really enjoyed. Now we will have a recitation that inshallah our brothers and sisters once again they will enjoy, okay? Listening to the Quran Kareem. Are you ready? I'll recite and you should repeat, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
إذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه
إذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه
إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه اسمه المسيح عيسى بن مريم وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة
إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه اسمه المسيح عيسى بن مريم وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة
وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين
وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة ومن المقربين
ويكلم الناس في المهد وكهلا ومن الصالحين
ويكلم الناس في المهد وكهلا ومن الصالحين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم الله Almighty bless you inshallah nice recitation we really enjoyed I myself enjoyed from your recitation Your recitation. Okay. If قالت الملائكة, when the angels say to Lady Mary, Lady Maryam, O Mary, Ya Maryam, إن الله يبشرك, Allah Almighty gives you the good news of بكلمة منه, a word from Him, from Allah Almighty, اسمه, that His name is مسيح, okay, عيسى بن مريم. Jesus, son of Mary. Wajihan. Why was he called Isa ibn Maryam?
Because Prophet Isa, he don't have any father.
He didn't have any father, yes. Okay. That's why, like, some of the Christians, they say that he is the son of God.
Yeah.
Yes.
While Allah Almighty says he's the son of?
Yes.
Mary.
Mary.
Yes.
Yes? Because they say, like, Prophet Isa didn't have a father, so Allah Almighty is his father. Come on. How come? Like, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, he didn't have even a mother, a father, mother, none of them. So he should be first and foremost the son of God. His mom should be God, his dad also should be God, right? Is it possible?
Yes.
No. While Quran say, no. While Quran says that,
no.
Inna mathala Isa ka mathali Adam. The example of the creation of Isa alayhi salam is like the creation of Adam alayhi salam. خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَابْ وَخَلَقَهُ مِن غَيْرِ أَبْ. Okay? Allah Almighty created Prophet Adam alayhi salam from the clay without any father, without any mother, and just give a mother to Prophet Isa alayhi salam. That's enough, okay? That's what Allah Almighty does. Yes? Here in this ayah. In the next session, inshallah, we'll talk about it. وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, distinguished in the world and the hereafter. وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ, and one of those who are brought near to Allah Almighty, from muqarrabin, who are so close to Allah Almighty. وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسِ, and he will speak to people in cradle. وَكَهْلَ, and in adulthood. وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and he will be one of the righteous. Look, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, one of his miracles is this, that he spoke to the people when he was in cradle. When Lady Maryam came back from the mountain, okay, and the people asked her that, how, where, what, where did this baby come from? He didn't get married. How did you? They were about to insult Lady Maryam, okay, with bad actions. But Lady Maryam did not talk. Just pointed to them that ask this baby. They were the Christians, okay? They were what? They were so much annoyed by this action of Lady Maryam. How dare you? You're asking us to ask the baby. Do you think we're that much like in low position that we should talk to a baby? Then Prophet Isa lesson started. قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا.
Yes.
Yes, he said that I am slave, a servant of Allah Almighty, abd of Allah, and he has given me the book, the guidance, and he has appointed me as the prophet. They were surprised. That's one of the miracles of Prophet Isa. The next miracles, as we'll talk about them, he could bring to life the dead bodies. He could cure, yes? Yeah, these things, inshallah, yes. We'll talk about them. So, that's all. That's all. Make sure, inshallah, you refer to the Tafasir book to learn more about this, because you need to learn more, okay? We just mentioned a little bit about it.
Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmurni min faydi dhiya ayatul.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
So, let's move on to the Tajweed rules. Some of the very important ones we'll mention. Take notes, brothers and sisters, and inshallah, practice the Quran. Practice the recitation with Tajweed. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Malaika, we've mentioned a lot. The mad is wajib. You have to stretch the sound for six counts, yes?
Yes.
إِذْ قَالَ. Read it, Hussein.
Whole ayah?
Yeah, no. Just Malaika up to there. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Stretch the mad.
إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ.
أحسنتم. Look, he stretched the sound for six count. That's correct. يَا مَرُ يَمُ. Ra has a heavy sound. يَا مَرُ يَمُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ. Heavy sound on lam. Yes? Nun مشدد also. Nasal sound. يُبَشِّرُكِ. Make sure it's ki, not ka. بِكَلِمَةٍ. Tanween plus meme. بِكَلِمَةٍ
إِضْغَام.
مِنْهُ. If you stop here. إِضْهَار. مِنْهُ. Minhu. If you join it to ismuhu, how do you do it? Ali Nasir?
Minhus.
Ah, you skip Hamzatul Wasl. Minhusmuhu. That's correct. Minhusmuhu al-Masihu. Isa ibn Maryam. This is very easy. Isa. The ba has an echoing sound. Isa. Isa. Read it, Hassan.
Isa ibn Maryam.
Isa ibn Maryam. Isa ibn Maryam. Right? Yeah. Dhamma. Wajihan plus fa. Tanween plus fa. وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. No difficult rule. Okay?
Yes.
وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ. نون مشدد. Make sure nasal sound. فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا. Tanween plus wow. Merge them. وَكَهْلًا وَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That's it. Alhamdulillah, we mentioned the important tajweed rules. We practiced the recitation. Make sure, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Make sure you practice, inshallah, well. And if you had any question, you can ask us on parstoday.ir. And inshallah, we'll be there to help you. You can find the other podcasts also, the other lessons also on parstoday.ir. Let's recite the Quran. You can find us there also. So, thank you so much for being with us, Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Nasir. If you have anything to say, nothing?
No.
Okay, thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, we say goodbye, but make sure to include us in your du'as as well in the month, in the holy month of Ramadan. We do so. Alhamdulillah. So, thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.